growing vision of this church, that we are rooted in Jesus our King, and we grow, we branch out, and we bear fruit. One thing I'd like to remind all of our children is that we have a memory verse. If you want to bring up that slide, please. Colossians 2, 6 through 7, and anyone in next generation, so children and youth, if you come to me, Pastor Josh, Hillary, or Nancy, we are ready with Hershey candy bars to reward you for memorizing this scripture. But I'd like to invite us all this morning, let's read this scripture together. I'd also like to challenge everyone here, commit this verse to memory. One thing that I've really been rewarding this past year is visiting some of the older people in our congregation, and they quote the scripture to me and say, I am taking this card every day and praying over this passage, and I know it's been a source of strength in my life and in all of our lives if we learn God's word. Let's read this together.
Just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Amen. Now, kids, I'm not going to ask you to come up and say it, don't worry, but just anyone here ready to say the verse? Give me a wave. Okay, next week. Maybe there's someone, but we're going to keep at it. So if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And if in your pew Bibles, the right in front of you is page 948. Again, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, page 948. As we're turning, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are expectant. We are waiting. Lord, we're ready to step further into the steps of action that you're calling us to take as individuals and as a body of Christ. So we pray now, open your word to us. Teach us, Lord, how to be your body that is rooted and grounded in Jesus as King. Amen. So reading from Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. So every Christmas, I like to have an amaryllis plant that grows, but you know, I'm rather frugal, and so I don't want to buy a new one every year, so I keep those bulbs, I put them in the garden during the summer, I try and time it right to put them into dormancy so that they will bloom right around Christmas time. So I brought the biggest bulb out of my basement where I had it in a box in darkness, and I planted it in the pot. It's the one on the left there. That was done about 6 weeks before Christmas, a little bit late, probably needed more time. And then I waited for that first little shoot of a leaf to come up, and thinking somewhere by Christmas or soon afterwards, we're gonna have a nice, beautiful flower. Well, to this date, nothing has happened. It just is dormant. It won't come out of dormancy, and I don't know what I did wrong. So anyway, a few days before Christmas, I was in CVS, and I saw an amaryllis that had already started to bloom but hadn't bloomed yet. I bought it, I took it home, and a few days after Christmas, we had a blooming amaryllis, and it's still blooming, and I noticed just last night, it's putting up even a third stalk for a third bloom. So it's producing fruit, it's producing flowers, and it's beautiful. Now, I can't tell you why this one amaryllis bulb isn't doing anything, why I can't get it to come out of dormancy, but I can tell you about why some Christians grow and others of us do not. Are we in dormancy? Are we asleep? Are we reaching our full potential in Christ? Are we blooming for Him? That's what we're going to focus on today, is the fullness of Christ, that each one of us is called to grow, and we're called to grow into the fullness of Christ. And I'm kind of blown away by that. What could that possibly mean for us to grow into the fullness of Christ? But I want to discover what that is, and I want to receive it as God's promise. God calls us to grow into the fullness of Christ. So I want to start off by asking a question. What kind of growth, spiritual and personal, do you expect and hope for in this coming year? What kind of growth are you expecting, and what are you hopeful for? And I encourage you, just take a little note in your heart. Lord, this is what I want. Say that prayer to the Lord and keep it in your heart. Because where there is faith and hope, God rewards. Let's turn now to our scripture. We're going to go pretty much verse for verse, not everything in this passage. It's a long passage. But we want to cover the main points of this passage. Verse 1 then says, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. So it's very similar to our passage that we're memorizing, live your lives in Christ. So we want to live worthy of the calling we've received. What is this calling? And I looked it up. I looked at some commentaries. What is the calling that's being talked about here? And it's just the basic calling, the calling of salvation. Are we willing, have we embraced God's call to walk with Him, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I believe this is the calling that's being talked about here. So we've all been called, and we've chosen whether or not we will accept. And if we've accepted this calling, are we walking in a way that's worthy of this calling that you've received? When I was thinking about this worthiness, I was thinking about what it was like to grow up in my family, the Bench family. I have four brothers and one sister, so there are six of us. My brothers were strong men, and they're tough. Let me just put it that way. My dad liked to see us work hard. That was probably the biggest value in my family, besides following Jesus. And so for me to live a life that was worthy of my calling of being a part of the Bench family, first of all, I needed to work hard. I wanted to make my dad proud. Then he saw me working, he says, yeah, he's a good worker. It meant a lot when my brothers and I, went over to the neighbors and helped them put up hay. Afterwards, that farmer said to someone else, and was heard by one of my brothers, those Bench brothers really know how to work. Well, we knew, hey, we're being worthy of the calling, be a part of our family. We also wanted to honor my father. I don't want my dad to be ashamed of me. I wanted to live my life in a way that he'd be proud of. It helped me not participate in certain activities and say, hey, no, I'm a Bench brother. I'm part of the Bench family. I have a reputation to uphold. I want to honor my dad and my parents. I want to live up to the reputation of being a member of my family. And that hopefully when others saw me out and about, they'd say, yeah, he's one of Don's sons. He's one of Don and Mary's sons, and I would make them proud. As those adopted into the family of God, then how do we live worthy of his calling? How do we live worthy of being a member of the family of God? First of all, we do his work. We live a lifestyle that honors him. We look at our lives and say, is the way that I'm living when other people see me, is it honoring to God my Father? Is it honoring to the body of Christ that I'm a part of, the family of God? We guard our lifestyles and choose to live in a way that honors him, and we become stronger, a part of the family of God by building relationships. This leads us really to the first point. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. that if of strong growth takes place in strong relationships with others. If we're alone, if we're just going through life without strong relationships with other brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? We're not going to grow very much. We're going to grow inwards, become more focused on our problems, instead of the work taking place when we are in relationships. That's why we gather together, is because it's in this body is the place where we grow. And I'm seeing this growth take place here, and I'm growing by being a part of this body. I'm so thankful for that. The verse then says also, in verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And I think it's really interesting that he puts this together, be humble and gentle and patient. Then he talks about bearing with one another in love. Well, I'd like to invite Trevor to come up and just kind of demonstrate something about relationships that we need to take note of. You want to grab that mic right over there? Hey, Trevor, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good, Pastor Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. How's your week been?
Well, it's been good.
Yeah? Yeah, mine too. Yeah, cool. Well, see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
Oh, sorry. So that's what we, thank you, Trevor, you should drink. And he was willing to do that with just a few minutes' notice. That kind of demonstrates so often what our relationships, unfortunately, are like, aren't they? We kind of greet each other when we come to church. We try to shake hands, we give a hug, whatever. How you doing? We exchange those informalities, you know, check in. But do our relationships really go deep? Do they go to the point where we have to bear with one another? Or do we keep a safe distance so everything stays chill and easy? That's the question for us today. One thing that I experienced this past week, I've been a part of a 311 group for about maybe 8 months now. It's gone through several divisions. We've spun off two groups. But right now, I have a really wonderful group of guys. And together with Joe Hess and the rest of our group, we went to his cabin for the past 2 days and just had fellowship together. He said, we don't want to just study the Word of God together. We want to really build friendships and relationships. I'm so thankful for this group of men that's been such an important part of my life over these past months. We're called to bear with one another in love. And also says be completely humble and gentle and be patient. Those three things, humility, gentleness, and patience, well, guess what? They're only tested when we're with other people. If you're alone at home, can't really be humble. You can be humble before God. You can't really be gentle because there's no one to be gentle with. You can't be patient because you can do everything the way that you want. It's in relationships where we learn humility. We learn and we pray for it by rubbing shoulders, by having some conflicts, and through prayer and through the rubbing of each other, the sharpening of each other, we learn to be gentle and we learn to be patient with one another. It says in verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is a powerful verse here. Now, first of all, the Greek word there, it means to make every effort, to hasten, to make haste. So there's an urgency in this Greek word. It also means to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. So if we apply this to relationships, it means if there's tension, we don't just walk away. We don't just, like we're saying, chill and hope that things get better. We make haste to that person. We come together and we work things out. When we have a prompting about someone, we don't wait. We go promptly to them. In our 311 group, we're reading through Genesis right now. And I read through the whole first, the 50 chapters. And the story that stuck out to me most was the story of Rebecca. You can read that some other time. But they said to her, do you want to go now? And her brother said, let's wait 10 days because they arranged a marriage for her and Isaac. And she said, no, I will go now. And she left immediately. She was promptly obedient to the calling of God. So this unity that we're called to, the second point is unity takes effort. It doesn't come easily. I believe we're coming to a really important time in the life of our church. We're seeing some really exciting things happening. There's some plans that are being discussed and formulated that are going to create some friction among us. And it's really important when we see God at work, We know that there's going to be an attack. We know that the tensions will come. And let's be aware of that. Let's make haste and make every effort to work on our relationships, to come together in humility, to admit when we're wrong, to give in to someone else, to overlook an offense. Let's build one another up and grow in our relationships. It talks about the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and then through the bond of peace. When I think of the Spirit there, it reminds me that we must rely on the Holy Spirit. If we're trying to mend our relationships and have unity and peace and humility without relying on prayer, it won't go well. Believe me, I've tried it. To go too quickly to someone when something there's a point of tension without taking time to dedicate it to prayer, a lot of times then those tensions will increase and maybe it will become even a deeper source of tension. If we take time to pray, acknowledge our own faults, where I may have been wrong in the situation, and wait for the peace of God to come, we can go to each other in the bond of peace, which is Jesus, and know there will be peace from this discussion if we come in humility and with gentleness and patience. We come together saying, I don't need to have my own way. I can overlook this offense. I've already forgiven. And I trust the bond of Jesus through the Spirit is with me. We're called to build each other up. Verses 11 through 13, we're going to skip a bit. Look at 11 through 13 with me. God's plan is that we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So it says in verse 11, Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service as so that the body of Christ may be built up. God does not want us running on a quarter tank of gas or an eighth, just barely having enough gas to get through our tasks. He wants us to be fully charged and never running out so that we can walk in the full measure, the measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, this is dynamic, it's exciting, and it's incredible. That if we're walking in the fullness of Christ and we're walking towards maturity, God's plan is that we hear his voice, we follow his call. Our eyes are open to see what's happening in the Spirit around us, where there are people of need, that we hear these promptings, that we're walking in joy instead of despair. We're finding fullness of life. Life in our families, in our relationships, here at church, that we know joy. This is God's plan for us. But if we're going to get there, we all have to be those who are building each other up. Now, it talks about the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, I should have read it anyway, the prophets and the evangelists. Right now, we've got two pastors on staff. We have other wonderful staff members such as Natalie and Nancy Hillary and Camden who are fulfilling other gifts, but we don't have all these gifts necessarily. I don't think this is just talking about just the leaders of the church. It's talking about every single person in the church. You've been given these gifts. You have motivational gifts to share the gospel, to have vision, to be prophetic, to listen to the Spirit, to teach, to preach, to nurture and love one another. And we all need to step into these gifts. If you need help identifying what your gift is, come and talk to me or others. Soon we're going to do more work on this, but pray and like the mouse did. What's his name?
Max.
Max the mouse. What is my gift? Pray and ask God to show you what is your gift that's given to you to build up others. And if we are building each other up, we will all walk into the fullness of Christ. And this is God's plan. He doesn't say a select few will walk in the fullness of Christ, does he? He says that all would walk into the fullness of Christ. This is God's plan for us. This is his purpose. We can lay hold of it, and it is coming about. Going on to verse 14, then it says, then you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Putting in this context, when we're in fellowship with one another, when we're building each other up, when we're each doing our part and using our gifts, we're protected. We're not going to be then just drawn away into silliness or to teachings that are not right. We're not going to be deceived. We're not going to be drawn into fellowships or crowds of people who are doing bad stuff, because we know I am rooted in Christ. And I'm rooted in this fellowship of believers. And I'm going to live my life worthy of the calling that I have received. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So first of all, we need to learn to speak the truth. I mean, speaking to one another, we were talking about earlier. If there's a conflict, if there's something going on, if you've been hurt, we speak the truth, but in love. And in this, then, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So let's consider this as our individual calling. We're called to walk in the fullness of Christ, but as the body of Christ, we're called to grow. We're called to grow in every respect to be a mature body. And we are. We're growing into this, and we will always be growing more and more into becoming a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And as God brings more and more people into our fellowship, this is a process that keeps going. We're maturing, we're building each other up, we're teaching, we're bringing people into the fellowship, and we're becoming more and more the mature body of Christ. You know, talking about this growth, I speak again of my 311 group. It's been so rewarding to hear a few of the men in my group that have said, I am growing like I've never grown before in my life. How rewarding, how beautiful that is. Mm. When it's so simple, we just sit together, we each read a passage of scripture that we assign during the week, a couple chapters or more, and we just ask God to speak to us through his word. And we come together and share that, and then we share our knees and pray for each other. That's it. But it's a place of growth. We speak the truth to each other in these groups in love. We're also learning to become more and more real as we trust each other, that we can confess our sins to one another, we can talk about our issues, and we find strength in our relationships with one another. Point number four then, looking at verse 16, it talks about in love. We speak the truth in love, and it says the body grows and builds itself up in love. Guess what? If we want to experience growth, it happens when we're in love. That sounds a little cliche, but it's really, really true. We need to fall in love with one another. We need to commit to being in love with one another. It's a beautiful thing to realize the love of Christ is with me and I am in his love. It surrounds me. It's all around me. I don't have to worry about any of this. Just to relax and say, I am in Christ. I'm in his love. And can we also then say that to one another? This is a place where we are in the love of Christ together. It's a beautiful thing. In the context of love then, loving each other, broken people are brought into this community of love. And then it says we are built up, that we build ourselves up in love. We've talked about this a lot over the last year, to be a community of healing. But the more that we love each other, and as we are doing that, to take the next step in our vision statement, which is to grow and then to branch out, as we branch out to say, who are others that need this loving fellowship? When they experience the love among us, they're blown away. I remember the ministry that we started in Hungary years ago, called the Crescendo Summer Institute. We made an institute where people would come and study classical music and jazz, but we also invited them to come to Bible studies, to chapels, and to be a part of our fellowship. But said, just be who you are, take part in what feels good to you. And over again, I heard people say, I have never encountered love like this before in my life. And whatever it is, I want it. And that opened the door then to talk about Jesus with them and to see lives changed. How beautiful this calling that we have to share the love of Christ with each other and with the hurting world around us. Turn with me just back to in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Just another verse that strengthens this whole concept. Looking at verses 17 and 18. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. It says this in verse 17, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of Christ." So again, there's the rooted theme, that we can be rooted and grounded and established in love, and then have power together with all the Lord's saints, then to understand how great is love for us, to walk to the measure of the fullness of Christ. So in this, as we talked about Max the mouse, each of us has our part. It says there that you may be filled to the fullness of God. See, I didn't write this scripture down. That the body of Christ grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So today I want you to ask, God, what is my part here? If we're going to grow and build each other up in love, to see each other grow into the fullness of Christ, what is my part? Verse 16 says, "The body is held together by every supporting ligament when every part is doing its work and when every part is functioning properly." So you can also ask the question, am I a strong ligament that's holding up others? Or have I allowed myself to become weak? We have an interdependence in the body of Christ. We have an obligation to one another to be strong, to strengthen ourselves, and be fitted together so that we are a strong body. So what kind of growth do you want to see in your life in this coming year? How do you want to grow? If you want to grow, you have to get into the ring. We've got to get into action. Say, Lord, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to take part, whatever that is. I'm going to rub shoulders with others. I'm going to put myself in situations where we become closer. I'm going to reach out to others, build friendships and relationships. And I'm going to serve and start getting to know others and allow those tensions to come. I'm going to use my gifts. So first get into the ring, rub shoulders with others, and then serve. Use your gifts and interact with others. I would challenge you, join a 3-1-1 group or a small group or find a discipling relationship, whatever would be work best for you. Be in relationship with others that help you grow. If you would like to be in a 3-1-1 group, talk to Tony Brubaker, myself, Pastor Josh, Jenna Mumau, and we'll help you find a group. Or for small groups, talk to Pastor Josh. Finally, immerse yourself in loving relationships in this precious body of believers. Amen. Let's pray. And Camden, if you'd like to come, and others. Lord, we are so thankful that you've called us to this body. Lord, it's a big responsibility to think that each of us has a responsibility to hold others up, to build and encourage others in this body. Lord, we pray that you would put in us a deep well of your presence, a deep well of your love, Lord, because without that, Lord, we have so little to go on. We pray that you would fill us up to the full measure of Jesus, that we can walk with you in rich fellowship, and that, Lord, you would strengthen us and give us everything we need, Lord, so that we can be effective in building others up. And now, Lord, we pray, build your church. Build all the churches in this area, and that together, Lord, we can build the kingdom of God, seeing people come to know you, finding Jesus, finding salvation, finding healing and life, and be invited into communities where we are immersed in your love and the love of each other. We thank you, Lord, this is your purpose that we can trust in. We thank you, Lord, your love is here for us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Before we have our song of closing, I just want to say that if you've not accepted that calling of God for salvation, the calling that is here for every single person, if you've held back, let this be the day when you say, yes, Jesus, I want to walk with you. We'll have a prayer team down here on the front, on this side of the auditorium. I invite you to come and pray with someone at the close of this service.
As we sing this last song, I'd like to stand and join us if you're able. But also, I just want you to meditate on the words. The words are really beautiful. So just think about what you're singing, but also.